What we have today is the Basic Bible Study Course, number 5, the Patriarch Aram, and this is an appendix to the lecture on the Patriarch Aram. The Spade Speaks is the title of this particular discussion. The question has often been asked, what has archaeology contributed to our understanding of the period of the patriarchs? Not content with their efforts to kill God, it seems that some in our society must also kill off everyone else related to the biblical narrative. Each person mentioned in the Bible is scrutinized and criticized, their very existence doubted. Everyone from Adam through Abraham to the Lord himself has been questioned and at some point declared mythical, fictitious, or allegorical. The opening chapters of Genesis have often been accused of being mythical by Bible critics. And of course, we noticed in lesson number 4, when we talked about the creation Aram, how people are very keen to have the first 11 chapters of Genesis in particular consigned to the dustbin, and if not entirely there, then they want a label to be placed firmly on these chapters, reading myth. Yet thousands of cuneiform tablets have been found in different places in the Middle East that date to the time covered in the book of Genesis. For example, and prominent among those, we have the Ebla tablets. These were a particularly large cache of 20,000 tablets that were found in northern Syria in the 1970s, and this was actually more tablets than all of the excavations up until this point had produced. These tablets are from the Empire of Eblum, dating from around 2250 BC, so that predates Moses' writings by 800 years. And we have made the point in the past that people came along and they said, no, Moses could not have been the author of the books of Genesis through to Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible, simply because they alleged that writing had not yet been invented. And yet the Ebla tablets, they date 800 years before Moses, so writing had been invented way before Moses ever penned the book of Genesis through to the book of Deuteronomy. The Ebla tablets, interestingly, not only make mention of the flood and of the Tower of Babel, but they contain a detailed description of creation. And again, we emphasize, written 800 years before Moses penned the Genesis account. Significantly, the people of Ebla also believed in a creation out of nothing. That God, as taught in the book of Genesis, made everything ex nihilo, out of nothing, with no raw materials to work upon. And we have the truth emphasized again for us in Psalm 33 in the verse 6, in Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 3. The Ebla tablets also contain extensive trade records and confirm many details that are found in the biblical stories about the patriarchs. Then, in addition to the Ebla tablets, we have the Nuzu tablets. Nuzu is an ancient Mesopotamian city located southeast of Kirkuk, Iraq. And Kirkuk, of course, has been on the news pretty recently due to the invasion of Iraq. Excavations between 1925 and 1941 uncovered more than 4,000 cuneiform tablets, mostly written in Akkadian. These clarified many difficult passages that occur in the contemporary patriarchal narratives in the book of Genesis. Now, these are not alone. We haven't just got 20,000, though that's not to be minimized, tablets at Eblum. In addition, 4,000 cuneiform tablets at Nuzu, but there are other supporting documents that bring us back into the patriarchal age. Other archaeological evidence to emerge in support of the Bible include the Moabite stone, the Code of Hammurabi, the Rosetta Stone, the Marai letters, the extensive Sumerian literature, in addition to the many sites and monuments and artifacts that are all identified with the events described in the Bible. We can locate many names in these documents from the patriarch era. The Ebla documents, for example, demonstrate that personal and place names in the patriarchal accounts are genuine. They mention Abraham, Ishmael, Israel, Esau, and then from the kingdom era, Saul's name and David's name also appear. They also refer to many of the places that were visited by the patriarchs. For example, Canaan, Sodom, Gomorrah, the other cities of the plain. The earliest reference to Abraham may be the name of a town in the Negev, listed in a victory inscription of Pharaoh Shishak I. This campaign occurred round about 925 BC during the reign of Rehoboam, and you can find the relevant scripture to this in 1 Kings 14, verses 25 and 26, and 2 Chronicles 12, the verses 2 through to 12. A place name in the Negev section of the inscription is best translated the fortification of Abram, or more simply, Fort Abram. So, it's very intriguing that we find references to Canaan, Sodom, Gomorrah, Fort Abram, and Haran as well, the city of Abraham, the home of the patriarchs. I guess we could describe it as that. Haran is mentioned as well. A village of Haran exists in Turkey today and has been found to stand atop the ancient one from the Old Testament times. Also found near Haran are villages that still bear the names of Abraham's great-grandfather and grandfather, Serug and Nahor, as detailed for us in Genesis chapter 11, verses 22 to 26. Haran, of course, was the father of Lot, Genesis 11, verse 27. The cities of Ur and Haran both had the moon god as their main deity. Terah, the father of Abraham, worshipped other gods, we are told, in Joshua 24, the verse 2. And Terah moved his family from Ur in southern Mesopotamia, that's Iraq today, up to Haran in the north. Genesis 11, 27 to 31. We have said that the Ebla tablets mention Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, they reveal that all five cities of the plain mentioned in the Bible, Genesis 13, verses 10 to 12, chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, all five cities of the plain were centers of commerce and geographically situated just as the scriptures say. In addition, geological evidence in this area points to tremendous earthquake activity. Layers of sedimentary rock molded together by intense heat may be found here. One startling discovery archaeologists made in a cemetery, Bab ed Drura, thought to be Sodom, is that buildings used to bury the dead were burned by a fire that started on the roof. Now you could read Genesis 19:24 and find an interesting reference there. But not only do we have in these ancient documents and cuneiform tablets names from the patriarch era, both of people and of places, but we have customs that are related that tie in with the patriarchal age. One of the most interesting discoveries that lends credence to the patriarchal story are the tablets of Nuzu. When Abraham and Sarah realized they were barren, unable to produce an heir, Abraham adopted a slave, Eliezer of Damascus, Genesis 15, verse 2. Now, this was common practice for a childless couple in the ancient Middle East, and the Nuzu tablets make that clear. For the same reason, Sarah encouraged her husband to take a female servant, Hagar, as a wife, so that he might produce a son and perpetuate their family line. Though God did not approve of this arrangement, it was a standard practice according to the Nuzu documents. Also, the Nuzu tablets reveal the true value of the teraphim, those family idols that Rachel stole from her father Laban, which conferred property rights to her husband Jacob. That's why they were so valuable. And we read of that incident in Genesis chapter 31. The important sidelight and insight that we have on this, we gain again from the Nuzu tablets. William F. Albright, famous archaeologist of the Bible lands, remarked, "It is now becoming increasingly clear that the traditions of the patriarchal age preserved in the book of Genesis reflect with remarkable accuracy the actual conditions of the Middle Bronze Age, and especially of the period between 1800 and 1500 BC. Also in these ancient documents, we have important references to the Mesopotamian kings. After Abraham settled in the hill country of Hebron, and Lot's nephew was pitching his tent in the vicinity of Sodom, we read in the Bible in Genesis chapter 14 about a confederation of Mesopotamian kings who came in, invaded the region of Sodom and Gomorrah. They took off numerous captives, and those captives included Lot and his family. The Genesis record reveals that when Abraham heard of the tragedy, he, along with 318 servants out of his household, pursued those eastward-bound hostile armies. The patriarch Abraham attacked the pagan forces, rescued his nephew Lot, and took considerable booty in the process. Now, the accuracy of this biblical account has been questioned on several particulars. First of all, they question the historicity of the names of the opposing kings that we read in the Bible as Amraphel, Chedorlaomer, Arioch, and Tidal. People came along and disputed those names. It has been documented, however, from Mesopotamian inscriptions that these names were common to this time period in the Tigris-Euphrates region, and that they are not fictional forms. Their invasion of Palestine at this time can be reasonably attributed to a search for copper in the large deposits that were to be found in Palestine. It has even been shown that the name Abraham was not novel in that ancient environment. You see, everything is adding up to show us that the Bible is a precise record. But then, secondly, regarding these Mesopotamian kings, some critics contended that there was no eastward line of march at the time of Abraham. So they've alleged that the Mosaic narrative is in error when it puts in this descriptive detail. Again, the famous archaeologist W.F. Albright admitted that he formally considered this extraordinary line of march as being the best proof of the essentially legendary character of the narrative. But Albright's discoveries in this region forced him to revise his opinion of the Genesis text. Professor Stephen Kigern, who was not a strictly conservative scholar, nevertheless stated that there seems to be no reason to question a factual basis of Genesis chapter 14. Now, allied with the information that we have gleaned here from the old documents that support names of people and places from the patriarchal era, also customs from the patriarch era, and that feature the Mesopotamian kings, we have another line of evidence that we can follow that is in support of the biblical testimony, and that deals with the people called the Hittites. The Bible mentions a nation called Hittites in Genesis 15 verse 20, Genesis 23 verse 10. In fact, the Old Testament mentions this people 47 times. For hundreds of years, archaeologists and historians said, the Bible's wrong. It cannot be God's book, because here's an obvious, glaring mistake. There's no evidence at all of there ever being a people called the Hittites. And yet, because the Bible mentions them, the Bible has to be in error. Even the Encyclopedia Britannica had no information about the Hittites. Then, an archaeologist discovered the Hittite capital city and its library in Bagozkoy in Turkey, about 90 miles east of Ankara in the year 1906 AD. The following edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica contained a lot of information about this people. On Monday, the 6th of September 2004, Channel 5 television in England ran an hour-long documentary entitled The Lost Civilization, The Hittites. Much information has been gleaned about this people that were a significant, ruling, dominant people in these Old Testament times. The Hittites' rule extended to Syria and Lebanon. And finding the Hittites' empire forced the claim that the Bible was wrong to be withdrawn, because all the details about these Hittites now support the biblical record. The find also helps to explain the language, the history, and the literature of a people who appeared in the Old Testament and who ruled in the second millennium BC. The Bible was right all along. We can have confidence in this book. And as we move on through our basic Bible study series, we'll bring in another supplement here and maybe another supplement there that will feature how archaeology backs up the Bible. And it's interesting to notice how the spade speaks in confirmation of Scripture.